Okay, and we will welcome Rabbi Dr. Jason Weiner from California. We're going back in time a little bit. We're like all over the world, so many different places. Rabbi Weiner serves as the Senior Rabbi and Director of Spiritual Care at Cedar Sinai in Los Angeles, where he's also the Rabbi of Knesset Israel Synagogue, the author of The Jewish Guide to Practical Medical Decision Making, and he will speak on the use of the chapel in the hospital where he works for various faith communities and discuss the issues relating to that. Rabbi Vakasha, welcome.
Thank you. Well, great to be with you. And I enjoyed listening to the previous year as well and all the great learning and also seeing some familiar faces here in the Zoom. I'm going to share with you the story of the Cedar Sinai Chapel, which is a fascinating story and also has relevance both for Hanukkah and other interfaith prayer spaces, whether that's in a hospital or an airport or university. We have our chapel, and I see some people here who have been to Cedar Sinai. Our chapel is actually the center spot of the entire hospital. And it's right in the middle. It's an interfaith chapel, though it's a Jewish hospital, and it does have a Jewish feel in the room. When you walk in, you first see an Aron Kodesh with a huge mug in David, and you'll see a tallis rack and yarmulkes. And on your right, you'll see two bookshelves full of, art scrolls, sidurim and chumashim and a shas and things like that. And we frequently have minyanim and shiurim in that room. And I always remember one time when I first started working there about 17 years ago, we had a mincha minyan. It was an Orthodox minyan. We had a mechitza down the middle, and we're davening mincha. And as we're finishing up mincha, a Muslim man comes into the back of the room and pulls out his prayer rug and does his prayers. And a few moments later, a Catholic woman comes into the back of the room and pulls out her rosary and does her prayers. And one of the administrators of the hospital, one of the doctors, says to me, "Rabbi, you got to take a picture of this. This is so beautiful. You know, everyone's praying to their God in different ways, all together in the same room. It's so precious." A second later, another doctor walks by me and says, "Rabbi, I'm never davening here again," walks out and slams the door behind him. So I thought, what do I do? What do I do? Because, not only is everyone welcome to come in and pray however they'd like, but we actually have scheduled 4 times a week. There's Catholic Mass. In fact, right at this moment, it's happening. There's every Friday Muslim Jummah prayers. There's Reiki that happens, Reiki sessions. There's Christian worship. There's Bhagavad Gita classes. In fact, I mentioned the two bookshelves of art scrolls, Sidurim and Chumashim. The third bookshelf, though, is Quran and the Quran and, New Testament Bibles and Bhagavad Gitas and different types of things like that. And, you never know what you're going to get when you walk into that chapel. So is it appropriate, Jewishly? Is there any halachic prohibition? And it wasn't just that one particular doctor who stormed out during mincha, but many people would ask me and still do, is it okay, is it kosher to pray in this interfaith prayer space? And so the first thing that I did when I started working there was to send out the question to different poskim, to different rabbinic authorities, to see what they say. And hopefully, I was hoping that they will provide some kind of cover or, halachic basis to permit praying in that space. After all, I'm the rabbi of that space. And I need to be able to cover people. Okay, they could have said, no, you can't pray there. And then I'll just have to say, it's forbidden to pray in my own shul, where I'm apparently the rabbi of a shul that's forbidden to enter in. So I sent this question out to different poskim, and I'll share with you the story of the rabbis who I asked and what their responses were. And in fact, I see the sources are shared in the channel. I'll also share my screen and I'll walk you through some of them. So the first I sent it to was the Eretz Chem de Kolel. That's Rav Carmel, and they published, Shilas and Tshuvos B'Mari HaBazak. And this tshuva that they wrote to me was written actually by Rav Carmel and then reviewed and signed off by Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg and Rav Nachum Eliezer Rabinovich, and also Rav Yisrael Rosen, actually three great rabbinic thinkers of the past generation, unfortunately all of whom have passed away since then. But, they have quite the gravitas of those names, and they all reviewed this tshuva and approved of it. So here's what they said. I'll walk through their tshuva and then what the other poskim said as when they looked at this tshuva, because And we actually have this now in our chapel. We have it laminated and posted in the back of the room. So I'll share with you what they said when they read it. So here's their response. And in fact, I didn't. You don't have on the sheet there my question, but what the question was, it's a Jewish hospital, and the space when you walk in, it does feel like a shul. I mean, unless you walk in during Mass, of course, it doesn't feel like a shul then. In fact, right now at this moment, it looks like a church. But every other time of the day, it looks like a shul. And it was built to be a shul. In fact, not only is it built to be a shul, it what the story of its construction was that there were it used to be, this isn't true nowadays. I don't know about Canada, but in California, in America, people get kicked out of the hospital pretty quickly out of having a baby. It's usually 2 or 3 days at the most. So there's not really so often that we have a bris milah in the hospital. It used to be much more common. It still happens, but it's not so common. But it used to be more common, but they want to bring in the mohel. But to have the mohel have privileges to go into the operating room and perform a bris milah, that's very complicated. So they designated the chapel as interfaith prayer space. I'm sorry, non-clinical. I said the wrong thing. I wasn't meaning to say that. As non-clinical space, so that anyone could come in and perform a medical procedure. You can't have a mohel go into an operating room if they don't have privileges. But you can have anyone go into a non-clinical prayer room and they can do whatever they want. So the shul was built to be, the chapel was built to be a space for the mohelim to do bris milah. It's just that our hospital, one last word before I read this, we read this short tshuva together. Our hospital, it's a very big place and it's a place where we do not have enough space. We are strapped for space. It's like, we're bursting at the seams. So they gave the chapel the exact center spot of the hospital, but they felt like they can't say, like, okay, the Jews, you get the center spot, but everyone else, they can go like down the street to some side room. But alternatively, they didn't want to say to the Jews at a Jewish hospital, we'll give everyone else the interfaith space in the middle and the Jews will go pray somewhere else. It didn't feel right. So it's essentially a Jewish space, but it's interfaith. So here's what they wrote with that background, because that's important. They wrote, Milashon ha'she'ela, from the way you phrase that question, which is what I just told all of you, nira she'achein medubar bebeit knesset. Yeah, we're talking about a shul. Ela she'mitavsheret ha'tefila levnei datot acherot. But they allow people of other faith traditions to come in and pray there. Be'etzem ha'davar she'goyim yavod yispalei l'kadosh baruch hu beis ha'knesses ein shum isur. Is it forbidden for a non-Jew to pray in a synagogue? If you would tell, a rabbi of some synagogue that their caterer or their janitor or the mailman, someone who just happened to be passing through the shul said, this is a beautiful space. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray to my God here for a few minutes. And they pray to their whatever Hindu God or whatever it is in your synagogue. And then they go off with their day. Does that synagogue now become like a prohibited place to pray in? Like, did they just destroy that synagogue? I don't think anyone would say that they did that. Okay, it's different to actually host a prayer service in that space. But he's saying, the first thing he's saying is the fact that they go there and pray, it's not prohibited. In fact, Mikre Malihu, it's actually a verse in the Navi, in Yeshaya. Beisi beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. That the Beis HaMikdash is a house of prayer for all people. Everyone came to the house, to the Beis HaMikdash to pray. In fact, interesting side point, the hospital that I work for, Cedar Sinai, why is it called Cedar Sinai? Sinai is obvious because at Mount Sinai, there's a belief that all the patients, all the people who were sick, were miraculously cured. That was at Mount Sinai. And that's why there's many Jewish hospitals throughout the country, throughout the world, named Mount Sinai. But Cedars, it was called Cedars of Lebanon, was the previous. There was two Jewish hospitals in LA. They combined in 1929 at the opening ceremony of Cedars of Lebanon. The rabbi's speech that he gave, he said, the cedars trees represent the building of the temple in Jerusalem. The ancient holy temple was built out of cedar trees from Lebanon. And then he said in his opening prayers, just like the temple was a house of prayer for all peoples, so too may this hospital be a house of healing for all peoples. So anyways, it was the Beis HaMikdash. People came and prayed there, and I'm sure they prayed to all kinds of Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash when they came and prayed there, because they believed it was a special holy place. So he says, we see that there's such a thing in Tanakh. The Rav Carmel, the Mar HaBazak goes on. By the way, this tshuva is published in volume 8 of their responsa. So he goes on, Meguneha davar shebeit knesset yishamish the tefila shel datat tacherut. Okay, it is not so nice. It's meguna. It's kind of disgusting. It's kind of inappropriate. I don't like it, he says. Afal pikein, but nevertheless, nira she'ein mishum kach le'esor le'yehudim le'itpalel beit knesset ze mitamim habayim. It's still not forbidden. Even if it's not so nice, we can't say there's an actual prohibition for two reasons, two fascinating reasons that they gave. Number one, Ledat Rabim Shal Rishonim, Natsrut Eina Nechshevet Levodah Zarah. Many Rishonim feel that Christianity is not idolatry. What the issue is with Christianity is what's called Shituf. It's there in the footnote. Shituf, like we say, like a roommate, it's Shutafut, you know, like a partnership. Shituf is Trinity, believing that God has multiple aspects. That is forbidden for a Jew. But many Rishonim say that non-Jews who by the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach are required to believe in one God, they can believe in different aspects of God. So they, from their perspective, are not worshiping Avodah Zarah, even if for a Jew it would be. So when, what they're doing in there is not idolatrous. The Afshe Poskim Rabim Kavusha Dain Asur Likanes HaKnesiyah, and even though many Rishonim still say you can't go into a church, because the two reasons that they give for that, which are there in the footnote also, are because maybe people are going to suspect you of being an idol worshiper when they see you walking into a church. Or maybe when you sit in a church, you're going to think like, wow, this is so beautiful. Maybe I should become Christian. And you're going to lose your religion. So even though there's a prohibition against entering into a church, kivan shemakom zeh, but how about when it comes to this chapel, be a soda hu bekenesed, but really it's a synagogue. It's not a church. Hatamim leisur einam shayachim b'mikra zeh. So the reasons for prohibiting entering a church don't apply to this chapel. Just don't go there Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays from 12 to 1. But other than that, it's not prohibited. Number two, kivan she'amakom b'yisodu hu b'kneset. Similarly, since it's essentially a synagogue, yesh lomar shehem boim begvuleinu ve'enam yachon lasor b'kneset shalonim. We can say they are coming into our space. What are they talking about there? So this is the first source I put in the sheet. We're not going to read all these sources, but just a couple of them that I want to show you. The first source that they're pointing out here, which I think is a brilliant use of this source in Avodah Zarah, Mem Dalet Amud Bet. The Gemara says, actually it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. Sha'al Porkolos ben Philosophos. Proklos, the son of Philosophos, asked of Rebbe Gamliel Ba'ako. They asked him, Shahaya Rochets Bemerchatz shel Aphrodite. He was in the bathhouse of Aphrodite. How could he be in the bathhouse of Aphrodite? Amarle, tu b'toratchem. It says in your own Torah, in Parshas Re'eh, lo yidabak biyadchem ha'uma min ha'cherem. Don't have anything to do with the cherem. Mipnei ma'ata rochets bemerchatz shel Aphrodite. Why are you in the bathhouse of Aphrodite? Aphrodite was an idol. Amarlo said to them, ein mashiva merchatz. Okay, I can't answer you here. We're in the bathhouse. Let's go outside, and then I'll answer you. Ukashi yatsa amarlo. Ani lo basi begvula. I didn't go into her space. He ba'a begvuli. She came into our space, as Rashi says. Shamer chatz kodemla. It was already a bathhouse. Then the Greeks came, they put on that statue. But they ain omrim nase merchatz noy l'Aphrodite, ela omar nase Aphrodite noy l'merchatz. The bathhouse is not for Aphrodite. It's our bathhouse. She can't just come and make it forbidden. So that's what the rabbis were saying in their tshuva. You can't, if you have a kosher space, someone else can't just come and defile your space and make it forbidden. It's your space. And by the way, we have a very good example of that in the Jewish tradition, which is the Maris Machpelah. Jews go and pray every day and put on tefillin and pray constantly in Hebron, in the mosque that was originally, that is the place of the burial of our forefathers and foremothers, and yet we pray there. And you could say on the one hand, Islam is not Avodah Zarah. According to the Rambam, Islam is not idolatrous. Although the Ran, some Rishonim say, Islam is idolatrous. So at least, especially for a Jew. So the Rambam, Rav Avadya Yosef, in his Tshuva, I just put out a little piece of it here, gives a very similar reason to this Gemara for why it's allowed for a Jew to go into a mosque, which is the Maris Machpelah today. He says here in the middle of the source, he says, Raya gadola yeshiv mikra mefurash. I have a great proof from a pasuk, from the Torah, from the Tanakh. Shemenasha, Melech Yehuda. Remember Menasha, the evil king. Hemid tzelem beheichal. He put up an idol in the Heichal, in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. The Hichnis Pesel Beis HaMikdash, there was idol right there in the Beis HaMikdash. The Avdu Sham Avodah Zarah LeRov, and they worshipped idols constantly there in the Beis HaMikdash. V'afal pi kein k'shem melech Yoshiyahu ben Beno, when his grandson Yoshiyahu came and led a tshuva revolution and cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash, the Sarf Kol Avodah Zarah, and burnt out all of Avodah Zarah, the Tiras Abayis, and purified the Beis HaMikdash, v'echzir l'kedusha aso, and made it holy again. V'mshichu bo avodas Hashem kevatchila, and they once again worshipped God there. V'mukach shebayis shechnisu avodah zarah l'tocho, so therefore you see that any synagogue that you put idol worship into, the avdu bo avodah zarah, and then you remove it, and even though you worship there, einu mitchalel chilu olam shelo yuchal yiskadesh shenis avodas Hashem yisbarach. It does not lose its sanctity, and it's still holy, and that is what Rav Avadya Yosef argues, and that's actually a very similar argument to the Eretz Chaim Kolel. So interesting. I did not know that the Machpelah was also a church royal, but that makes sense. So I showed this tshuva. I brought Rav Asher Weiss into our chapel. He was giving a shiur in our hospital. I brought him into the chapel, and I showed him the chapel, and I showed him the tshuva. I asked him what he thought, and he said to me, Ani maskim 100%. I agree 100%, and you can tell anyone you want. So he agreed. So good. I could keep my job. Later, I brought Rav Hirschel Schechter from YU to our hospital, and he gave a shiur in the hospital, and then I also brought him to the chapel. I was actually taking him around the hospital. I had some Tumas Kohanim questions, so we're in the middle of something else. As we walked past the chapel, I said, oh, can I show you our chapel and see what you think? I showed him the chapel. I showed him the tshuva. I said to him, what do you think? He did not agree. Let's just put it lightly. He did not agree. He didn't. And I said to him, so let's say I have to daven mincha one day by myself. Should I come into the shul and daven mincha right here or in my office? Or next year, should I daven in my office? He said, your office. Don't pray in here. So he didn't give me the reason. We then I went back to the question we were dealing with. He didn't give a reason. But I have a conjecture as to his reason, because it seems to me fairly clear that his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, would not have been okay with it either. Rav Soloveitchik was asked by a number of students at Cornell University. They were building an interfaith chapel there at Cornell, and they wanted to know what should the interfaith, the Jewish section of the interfaith chapel look like? And the response was basically, there should be no Jewish section because we don't participate in interfaith chapels. I don't like this. You see that first wording, right? He writes right there, I strongly object to the use of an interfaith chapel. And his argument, he basically says, I won't read all this, just pick out a couple of lines. He says, the idea of a common house of prayer is absolutely irreconcilable within the Judaic philosophy of worship. This attitude stems either from intolerance or narrow-mindedness, nor from a feeling of superiority or of dogmatic charism, but from a deep philosophical insight into the essence of worship. He says, we can align ourselves with our Christian, with our non-Jewish brothers and sisters and cousins. There's nothing wrong with working with them and being friendly with them. But when it comes to worship, he writes here, I thought this was a great little piece here. He says, this is from, by the way, Nadi Helfgott's, book of Rabbi Soloveitchik's letters. He says, for example, the Christian Orthodox Church sees in the act of worship, he's saying that the architecture of prayer spaces is influenced by their theological beliefs. So the Christian Orthodox Church sees the act of worship a sacramental, mysterious performance which is fraught with otherworldliness and beatitude and is rooted in the miracle of transubstantiation. The whole organization of the service and the arrangement of the surroundings, like the passive role of the audience, the soft music of the organ, the stained glass window, and the Gothic style of the architecture serve one purpose, namely the intensification of a feeling of supernaturalness, strangeness, meta-rationality. In contrast to this, the Jewish service is distinguished by simplicity, in a dialogue between God on the level of this worldliness. His point is, the architecture is important, and Rabbi Soloveitchik was very opposed to use of interfaith spaces, and therefore, it's not surprising to me that his student, Rav Schechter, was also not comfortable with it. Also, I published a book around that time, just after that, on laws, basic Jewish law in the hospital. And I wanted to get a number of, haskamas, from local rabbis, so that when people in the hospital read it, they won't say like, oh, who's this Jason Weiner who wrote this book? I don't trust him. They'll at least see rabbis who they recognize. So, Rabbi Muskin, who was my boss at that time, he wrote a haskama. I got a haskama in Farsi. If any of you are ever in LA, you know that the primary language spoken in Los Angeles Jewish community is Farsi. So I got a Farsi, and I'm not saying that to make fun. I mean, that's just the reality. We are very proud of the fact that we have a very strong Persian community here. So I got a Farsi tshuva. Also, Rabbi Bess. I went to Rav Schusterman, a Chabad posek in town. Rabbi Bess is considered by many to be the posek of our city, especially in the yeshiva community in Los Angeles. So I went to Rabbi Bess. He read my book. He said, I will write, I can approve of this. I said to him, can I publish the tshuva from Eretz Chemda approving of our chapel? Can I put that in the back? So he said, I don't know. Let me check with Rav David Feinstein. Who was alive at that time, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son. He checked with Rav David Feinstein, he called me back, and he said, no. He said no. So I said, okay, I won't put it in the book. I didn't have a reason, and I didn't know how to be in touch with Rav David Feinstein. Then there was a very prominent wedding in Los Angeles a couple of years later, and Rav David Feinstein was invited. And I went to the wedding, and I saw him there. I said, oh, it's my chance to ask questions of Rav David Feinstein. I went over to him, and I said, I reminded him of the question of our chapel. And I said, I understand that the Rosh Hashiva was against it. He said, yes. I said, is the reason, I was conjecturing, it's on the sheet here somewhere, I think it's right here. Yeah. Is the reason you're opposed to it because, your father, I mean, the Rosh Hashiva's father, Reb Moshe, wrote a tshuva in which he was asked, can you take like a nightclub, like a dance club, and rent it out on Yom Kippur? Sometimes people need, shuls need extra space. They don't, not everyone fits in the shul on Yom Kippur. Can you rent out a disco, like a nightclub, and turn it into a shul for Yom Kippur? And Rav Moshe said, no, you can't. Just like we know that, like, for example, there's different levels of shuls, like davening in a base medrash is the holiest place to daven because learning Torah happens there. So what happens in the space, he argued, has an impact on the holiness of your prayers that happen there. That's why he says, for example, you shouldn't pray ideally in a home prayer. I mean, you can pray if you need to daven at home, you daven at home, but like house minyanim are problematic according to this. But so I said to Reb David, so is it because like what your father said that, you can't pray in a disco that's converted to a shul? So is this the same idea? Reb David said to me, yes, but this is worse. This is worse than a disco. Why? Because in a disco, it happens as gili or rios. It's, inappropriate behavior. But what happens in your chapel is a avodah zarah. And that's even worse. So no. And the truth is, I found a source later that supports him. The Gemara in avodah zarah, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, has a story about two rabbis that were traveling on a road and they had a fork in the road. Which way should they go? One side, they're going to pass a brothel. The other side, they're going to pass the house of avodah zarah. And the rabbis ended up passing, the brothel instead of the house of avodah zarah. So that support for Rav David's opinion. Interestingly, by the way, some argue, actually, maybe I'll just mention, I'm just looking at my time, I just want to make sure we're on time. I'll just mention here an interesting point about Hanukkah that's related to all this. Because if you think about it, there is a very famous question that comes up when dealing with Hanukkah in relation to the Al HaNisim prayer. We're going to start saying tonight Al HaNisim. So in the Al HaNisim prayer, we say, V'liku neros bechatros kadshecha. We lit the menorah in chatros kadshecha. The chatzer is the azara. But the menorah was not lit in the azara. The base of Mikdash had different levels. There's different portions that are the holier, holy and holier, like the Kodesh Kodashim is the holiest. And the menorah was normally lit in the heichal. All Anisim should have said, V'liku neros bechatros kadshecha. But it says, bechatros kadshecha. Why? So one of the answers given is that because that space, the heichal, had still not been purified. There was still a avodah zarah going on in there, and they didn't want to light the menorah in a place that had been still desanctified with that avodah zarah. So So that's why we say bechatras kachecha. So anyways, you see, this was the reason that Reb David Feinstein gave for being opposed to it. So now we basically have, I have a number of different answers, and it leads to one last issue. So because that's going to, I'll share with you one other suggestion that was made by one of the local thinkers. And that is, let's take a step back now. So I'll summarize and take a step back, and then we'll conclude going back to Cedars-Sinai. But basically, we had Rav Carmel wrote a tshuva with the signature of Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg and Rav Nachum Rabinovich and Rav Saul Rosen, all permitting prayer in the chapel. They didn't say they loved that idea of praying there, but it's for sure permitted. Rav Asher Weiss agreed. Rav Hershel Schechter disagreed. And it seems that Rav Soloveitchik would also not be a big fan. And Rav David Feinstein also disagreed, and he argues that his father would have as well. What about a general chapel, an interfaith prayer space? There's also chapels all over the place. You go to JFK, go to airports, or most hospitals. Our hospital is a synagogue that's an interfaith chapel. Many hospitals, it's just a prayer room or meditation room, something like that. What about that? Is a totally neutral prayer room. Could you pray there? So many poskim actually write, there is a lot of literature about that they say that it's actually it's okay. You could pray there. So there are some that said no. There are some authorities that say for sure not. But there's many that say it's a neutral space, so you could pray there. What about the symbols and things like that? So we actually have, the Shulchan Aruch actually talks about this. The Shulchan Aruch says here we go, it's the Ramah. The Ramah says, this is based on a Gemara, actually. The Ramah says, Misha Baba Derech Hu Samuch Lamalon. You're traveling, you're close to a hotel. Im yachol yistalek min haderech b'makom shelo yafsikuhu ovdei drachim. If you could just stop on the, but it's mincha time. If you can stop on the side of the road and pray, no one's going to bother you. Yistalek sham v'lo yispalo b'malon shelo ovdei kocham. You just pray on the side of the road. Don't pray. Imagine these hotel inns in Europe, Eastern Europe, hundreds of years ago. They were basically probably churches. I mean, they were so full of probably Christian symbols and things like that. So he's saying, maybe it's better to daven and pray on the side of the street. Aval in yefshar listalik min aderech. But let's say you can't just pray on the side of the road. B'makom shelo yafsikuhu yispal b'malon. So pray in the hotel. Be'ezek keren zavis, in some corner. In some corner. Why? Mishabru explains. V'lo ratzo yispal. I'm sorry. Before he explains why in the corner. First, why wouldn't you pray in the hotel in general? This is just like the Jews didn't want to pray in Egypt. V'lo ratzo yispal b'Mitzrayim l'fisha haisa malei gilulim. They didn't want to pray in Egypt either, because Egypt was full of idols. So, but why go pray in the corner? So the Mishnah Berurah then says, v'im b'kotel Mizrachi, but what if on the eastern wall, in that room where you want to pray, sham tulidim gilulim, they have, a cross on the wall. This happens oftentimes in Catholic hospitals, where there are frequently crosses on the wall. So what do you do then? So he says, you know what? Al yispalo le'oso tzad. So don't pray to the east. We try to pray to the east, but in this case, you'll pray a different direction. Ela le'tzad acher. Just pray north or whatever. Afal pi she'eino mizrach. And if, or the other option would be to cover them. And so too in an interfaith prayer room, it's actually neutral, as long as there's no nothing covering it, I mean nothing that you're, no symbols you're praying towards, it could be okay. So the truth is, I discussed this with a local scholar in here in Los Angeles, and I discussed it with, his name is Tzvika Reisman. Tzvika Reisman always asks me to share with him what's the newest questions. He likes to write articles about them. And I shared with him this question. He said, oh, what I would do, he said, is don't call it a shul. Don't say it's a shul. Say it's a chapel. If it's an interfaith chapel, and you're just, as you do, you just bring in the cross, during Mass, and then you take it out. That's better. He said, take off the mezuzah from the shul. Say it's an interfaith prayer space. It's not kavua for anything. And then you just go in there and pray like it's any other classroom or something. That was his suggestion. And a number of rabbis we talked to said, they kind of like that suggestion. My problem with that suggestion was that, as a Jewish hospital, there's a lot of pride in the fact that our chapel is not just a chapel, it's a synagogue. And it's primarily a synagogue. And everyone who walks in there knows it's a synagogue. And they bring their stuff in for their prayers. And then they bring it back out and it remains a synagogue. And it's part of our identity as a Jewish hospital. One of many things, we have a mezuzah on every door. We have Shabbos elevators. We have a kosher kitchen. One of the things is that our chapel is not just a chapel. It's a shul. So that's what we do. So we still use the chapel. We've had many, many minyanim in there. And many great rabbis have davened there. Many great rabbis have also not stepped foot in there. But this is the challenge of our chapel. This was kind of the halachic history of that chapel that I went on, and I'd love to hear any reactions or comments or feedback that you might have in the remaining couple of minutes we have. I also have a hard stop. I know that you do too, but I also have a hard stop in about 4 minutes.
Jump in and ask the first question. I'm the one who commented about the Me'arat Machpelah, about it being a church also, and I also mentioned afterwards that it sounded to me like a lot of the most, if not all of the Rabbanim that were matir to pray in that space were from Eretz Yisrael, Ma'ariv Bazak, Rav Rabinovich,
Yeah, you're right. That's
and
interesting.
the New York and Americans were, and I think it's because the people in I live in Eretz Yisrael myself, and I
Yeah.
think that the Eretz Yisrael people say, listen. This is us. We're not afraid. We're not ashamed. We're not looking to our left and to our right. Who's in charge over here? We're in charge. So there's a few people over here. It's a little bit different. It's not the end of the world. That's the way I think I understand.
Is
That's
a
interesting. That's a very interesting take. There could be something there. You're right. I mean, I don't know if we did like a if we did like a poll of rabbis. I don't know if it would stay that way. But you are right that in this case, yeah, that's very interesting.
Also,
is
if I may interject, it's true with interfaith dialogue, which of course is a connected field, but the rabbis in Israel, even chief rabbis, were always much more open to interfaith dialogue, where, of course, as you alluded to, Rav Soloveitchik was very, whatever word you want to use, it was very much opposed to all this stuff. Every faith has their own way. And even the Rav, where he believed very much in Orthodox and Syrian Reform Jews working together, that was for social issues. The Rav was not a fan of Orthodox Reform things on a faith level. You know, every faith is sort of a, that's a, okay, I'm sorry,
I mean, you
but.
make a good point. I mean, it's also harder for us as Chutz La'aretz. We are more, it's a little bit harder for us to interfaith stuff. You know, in Israel, you're more protected. You're
Right,
more,
that's what Ariel is
you're more
saying.
distinct.
Gideon is saying, yeah, it's a good point. All right, anybody else
I see
quickly?
Mark's question,
Would
interesting question there. Why did we adopt the lenient ruling?
Ava be a factor?
Mm-hmm.
Would Ava be a factor in the decision here? Because not
Right,
just.
I mean, there is something about Ava there. It is interesting. Like, that's how we try to be respectful of the space. A lot of people feel a lot of appreciation and respect. And, you know, it's always complicated this time of year. People who are not Jewish in our hospital feel like, you know, we want to feel respected, and we want to feel like we can still celebrate, and we have to help make them feel like they're, because they are totally, obviously, part of the hospital. We don't want them to feel excluded. So it's a delicate balancing act of being a proudly Jewish hospital that also makes everyone feel at home and safe. And you're right, Mark. I mean, the methodology I use is, yeah, I accepted the lenient ruling. First of all, I will say in my own life, and I've been true to this in many, many cases, that Rav Asher Weiss is personally my posek. Many hard questions in my life, I asked him and I said to him, whatever you say is what I'm going to do. And so in this case, he mocked it. So I'm being consistent by saying I use the chapel of the posek who said I could use it, even though I'm not sure he would also say it's so great to use it, but he said it's allowed. But I still tell people, I say, you know what? Yesh al mi lismoch. If you want to use it, you have what to rely on. And if you don't want to use it, I respect that. I get that there are halachic opinions against it. So I'm not going to say to you, oh, you don't accept my chapel. What's wrong with you? It's, you know, everyone, I get it. Some people don't accept it, but some do. And so I can rely on them. Yesh al mi lismoch. And so that's basically the approach I take.
What did Rav Herschel Schechter say about the Maaseh Machpelah?
Well, probably he would, I don't know, but probably he would say, first of all, Islam, there is a difference. Most poskim see Islam differently than Christianity. There is more of an aversion to Christianity, in terms of religiously, being idolatrous than Islam, which is very, very similar to Judaism. That's my guess, but I don't know. He I don't know, he probably doesn't, he probably say, I wish the Maaseh Machpelah wasn't a mosque, you know?
Okay, anybody else? Thank you. Hi, Heshi, Nestor. Thank you. And good memories and long life. This is
Right.
being sponsored, as I've mentioned a couple of times, for Esther's mom. So just now we see you in person.
Thank you
Can I
again.
ask another? Can I ask another short question?
Yeah,
Is it
sure.
po Yes. Is it po Would it have been possible to make a? The way I understood, I got a little bit late for the sure that the The shul remain a shul. It's a Jewish hospital. But you make also a chapel.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Dafka, a church animas.
I know. I did mention that. It's not so possible because the chapel is the exact center spot of the hospital. People like that it's the middle spot. It's the best location. And we don't really have space. We have a big problem at our hospital that's not big enough for the amount of people that we squeeze in there. So unfortunately, it's not
all right. All right, Rabbi Doctor. Nice to see you.
Great learning with all of you. Have a great Chanukah Sameach. Okay.
What time is Mincha this afternoon? I can ask.
If you want to join us, 4:30.
Well, it's a long flight, but I don't know. I don't think I can quite make it. But anyways,
we'll finish clearing off mass.
So you have Mincha Marv every day in the chapel.
Not every day, but in the winter we try to. But it's not every day, not always.
Okay. Thank you very much, and enjoy Chanukah Sameach.